Hello, welcome to episode 335 of Spring and Say Geek, I'm Bat.
I'm Hammer.
And this is our Week in Geek. This week we bring you our review of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, our streaming review of Happy Death Day, a little bit of nerd news, and then the pod question like normal. So the first thing we're going to do is go ahead and get to our spoiler-free review of Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks, and then a dude that looks familiar, but I don't know who he is, but he looks really familiar.
He looked like he would be punched in the face. That's the best way I could describe the dude. I was like,
okay.
Yeah, I could see you being
minor spoiler, but that's okay.
Is it really?
Minor. It happens in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie, so it's very minor. But yeah.
Mr. Roger punches him in the face.
That
doesn't happen, don't worry.
Sorry. I did like... we should talk about the spoiler.
Yeah.
But we're gonna... So, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is about a magazine writer who is sent to interview Fred Rogers, essentially. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's what you get out of the trailer, so that's kind of all we're going to give you on that.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is absolutely incredible in this role. It's a really heartfelt movie that isn't about Mr. Rogers. He's a secondary character in the movie, but he's important in the movie as well. And that's kind of all I can really get. There was a lot more comedic moments than I was expecting, mm-hmm. but they weren't laugh out loud, like, ha, 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 comedic moments. But there were comedic moments there. There were cameos I wasn't expecting. Really, it was a very heartfelt movie, and especially with Tom Hanks being able to disappear into the role of Mr. Rogers, which is, I didn't think he was going to be able to do it, and he did it perfectly.
Yeah. I'm right there with you again. Tom Hanks was fucking amazing. It was beautifully acted. I thought it was really well done. I kind of was a little surprised at how much
creatively
I really enjoyed
shot.
It.
I really thought it was creatively
it
shot.
It was very lovingly shot. You mm-hmm. can tell there is passion in this, and that came across really well. To your point, it is funnier than I expected, to the point where the entire audience I went with, and we made jokes about dude bros and stuff, but the entire audience was totally engaged. Like, you heard people laughing, you saw people like get a little teary-eyed. Are you surprised? Fuck no. But it was really well done. I'm very happy about it. I didn't recognize the cameos that you mentioned before until you pointed them out to me, and I was like, oh, shit.
Nobody did.
But
I don't think anybody did, but I was like...
You will later, and that'll make a difference.
I laughed, because I was like, ha, hey!
And
why are you laughing? And I was like, oh, fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm. But 100% recommend it. Go see it. You will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Honestly, even it's we make those determinations of sometimes drama movies aren't always worth seeing in the theater. I am so happy I saw it with the audience I did, because I thought it was a really good communal experience, and it was empowering.
It is empowering. It's
there's also a scene that happens in the movie that I think is way more impactful in a theater with a bunch of people than it is by yourself,
where you're forced to pay attention. Yes.
Yep. And 100%. I really liked it.
100%. I agree with that. That's kind of our brief 30,000 feet in the air review of Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. We don't want to give away too much, especially because there's a lot to experience with this movie.
Yeah.
We are going to come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review, but we both recommend seeing this. If you haven't seen it yet, I really do think you should give it a shot.
Absolutely agree.
Alright, so we're going to go ahead and get to our streamer review, which was brought to us this week by you.
I'm so excited we chose this. I wanted to see Happy Death Day. This has been one of those movies that I kept on thinking about, but kept forgetting about.
Yeah.
It's Groundhog's Day with murder and horror. It's more of a Final Destination-ish.
A horror-y.
I like a horror-y because it just sounds terrible. Okay. But it's the same way when we saw Tucker and Dale. It's basically not the same.
Don't compare.
I'm not going to compare, but it's the idea of like, it is funnier than I expected, and I'm happy that it was as funny as it was because it made it more enjoyable.
Funny, huh?
I thought it was funny, but I liked it. How about that?
I enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, because for our streaming review for next one, I'm going to do too. So obviously, I enjoyed it enough.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. It has a lot of huge plot holes as to, like, one, why the fuck are you rewinding time? How is it tied to this one person? What the fuck is going on? And it definitely does not answer any of those.
I did like how she's getting sicker.
Yes,
like
it's like carrying
every time she dies, like it has an impact. It's not a fresh start each yes. time. So I did like that she's getting sicker and dealing with things that way. I thought that was really clever and fun. I liked the murder mystery part of it, of like, it could be, and she's going around, you know, checking out people, and it's not that person. She gets yes. killed, and she's, you know, oh shit, and she finally figures out, hey, it's this person, and then, spoilers, it wasn't that person either. It was
the check, yeah.
I didn't expect it to be the roommate, honestly.
I didn't expect it to be the roommate either, but I didn't
think it was... I didn't expect it to be one of the girls, though. I did think it was one of the girls. And so when it got to the end, and it was like, oh, it's this convict, and I was like, this is a cop-out. Like, yeah. this feels so
and that's why
cheap. And luckily, it wasn't him.
I kind of... And I thought it did a decent job of trying to seed it as, like... The whole point about a Groundhog Day movie like that is that it gives you a lot of shit in the beginning to kind of sink on, like think on, essentially, mm-hmm. and then kind of build up from there. I kind of thought it was going to be the teacher, honestly, but...
Oh, yeah, the one she was banging?
Yeah.
It was interesting. Like, I mean, she steals the cop's gun, and she's like, go run, and like... Doesn't expect anything bad to happen if she kills the dude.
Yeah.
So if she kills the dude with the cop's gun, like, she's fucked for life.
Yeah, she's murdered.
But
she's
whatever. Murdered
somebody. But yeah, that was her perfect day. I did like her perfect day getting reset, though.
Yeah, well.
Because she just wasted all that good day. And like, she's like, I did a perfect thing. Everything's great. Nope.
Her waking up every day. Fuck!
I did really like that. Her being just absolutely genuinely pissed. It's not a perfect movie.
No.
At all.
No.
But it was fun.
It's
enough to drive me to go see the second one. It's not enjoyable like Purge 2 or Purge 3.
Okay.
Purge 1 was eh. This would be on level with Purge 1, I think. I was like, I like the concept. I really want to see what it does with the second one. Hopefully it's better.
All right. So, I mean, I'm going to say see it.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Don't go out of your way to see it.
No.
Like, if you come across it kind of like we did, be like, oh, okay, cool.
I watched it in one sitting, and that means that I got really invested in it. I was like, oh shit.
I think I watched it in one sitting, too.
I didn't want to, like, necessarily turn it off, so it kept me engaged enough.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, so for next week's streaming review, I'm going to suggest Happy Death Day to you.
Aw, that's so sweet of you, buddy.
Which is also on HBO Go. This is the sequel.
Yeah.
Spoilers. So if you have anything you want us to watch on HBO Go, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, let us know at... But,
what?
Do you look like...
Oh, no, I just have something else to Disney Plus, but I'll ask you after this, sorry.
BatandHammer@gmail.com, BatandHammer on Twitter, Sprink and Zinkeek on Facebook. You can reach me, I'm at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Crying Kayless. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. So Disney Plus, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because
we're going to start sharing, right there.
Yeah, well, do you happen to notice that it restarts a lot and it pauses at random places and then it'll break down and crash?
I have not had that happen. I've heard it happen a lot, though. I've been pretty good with my connection and my my version number, I guess you could say. I haven't really had many issues with Disney Plus.
It's basically mainly on any of my non-wired-in devices. It freaks the fuck out. And I'm like, huh. Okay, it's got a long ways to get itself better. But I was just curious about that in general.
I mean, it will. And you know, it kind of shows the Disney bias of people of like... I've seen a lot of people be like, I have Disney Plus. Tell me why I should keep Netflix. And I was like, oh, I don't know. They have more than one fucking show. Like...
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about, you know, one of the shows coming to Netflix. But I'm like... Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu are still the better package than Disney Plus.
100% agree, and I feel like Amazon has... Right now, Amazon's got a really good stable of really good original content.
I think Amazon gets forgotten.
I think they do, too, and they have really good shows.
That's what I keep hearing, because they have what? No, Hulu's Handmaid's Tale. But Amazon has Jack Ryan.
It's got Jack Ryan. It's got The Boys. Man in the High Castle. It's got, I know you didn't like Carnival Row, but it's got Carnival Row. Mm. But I mean, like, they're high production value kind of targets, and they're very odd ones. There's another thing they had coming out too recently that I was curious about, and I can't remember what it was, but again, it's something I never heard of, right. but I saw the little brief 5-second thing of it, and I was like, huh. They also have The Expanse, which I fucking dig The Expanse. So I'm glad they gave it a second life.
Yeah, they've got way more than, you know...
I feel like Netflix has good with drama and
Netflix has got a whole bunch of great stuff, too, that people yeah. are... You know, oh, I have Disney Plus. Tell me why I should keep Netflix. And I'm like, I don't know, because Netflix has stuff.
I mean, do what you want, man.
And it's fine, like, but I feel that...
Besides Mandalorian, yeah. there's not a lot on there's Disney that
the Lady and the Tramp remake, which I have no interest in.
I mean, I'll watch it eventually.
Maybe. There's Noelle, the Christmas movie, and the only reason I want to see it is because it's Anna Kendrick and it takes place in Phoenix.
Does it really?
Yeah, because there's a shot where they're coming in and you can see Bank One Ballpark or whatever it's called, yeah. Chase Field, and I was like, hey!
Oh.
So I don't know if they say it takes place in Phoenix, but like, it they're doing a shot of Phoenix.
I'll probably watch it at least, but it's got Anna Kendrick, so.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you know, Sarah's like, do you want to watch this? I was like, eh, oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm easy like that. So let's start with what are you playing, buddy?
Tomb Raider, The Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And I know when I had talked to you about it before, I was kind of excited because I just started it and it felt so much like the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you now, it does not feel like the other two. It's still good.
Oh, no.
It is still good. I still enjoy it. But I can tell you, you can feel that it is a different team. Okay. Mainly on certain areas, and they're subtle things, but if you, as playing through the first two recently,
mm-hmm.
the way that it does progression is different, which isn't necessarily bad, but normally in the first two games, you would earn things, and you would learn, and it basically teach you these. Now it earns, like, more of a purchase system, where you can buy things, so you can kind of get things out of sequence, technically.
Okay.
It is way bigger of an open world, which is a good and a bad thing.
Right.
There's a lot to explore, but I literally spent an hour and a half before going into the next mission thing because it got to me to a new town and I wanted to pick up every fucking thing possible. I enjoy it. Also, underwater levels. Yes, that's the kind of thing. It's not terrible. And it's not great. It's good. They actually do it decently. But again, it's still underwater levels. Also, there's a few points Stop when you're going also. Into... I know.
Every also. Time you say also, you add something else to it. It's like, oh.
So, there's another thing. And one more thing. Load times. They do a lot of the hidden things that Tomb Raider did so well and God of War does amazingly, where it hides load times.
Right.
This doesn't do it as well. It's a little clunkier as in, hey, I'm going to go slide between this pass. I'm like, cool. But the pass is 4 times longer than you feel like it should be. So there's just chunkier things. The models and the animations when they talk don't look as smooth. They definitely use a different rendering thing. To the point where Laura talks to people and you can tell it's more of an Assassin's Creed or something like that, where it's more canned versus mocap, I feel like. With the first two games, they were definitely mocap. You could tell how natural they flow.
So it feels, I mean, from what you're saying, it feels like they...
Step back.
They gave it to another team.
They did.
But like... Completely another team, kind of like, not even with Eidos. Just
it is
or Montreal or what was it?
It is still Square Eidos, Montreal. It's or, still within the teams,
but like if but almost a completely different company. Almost.
You can feel that it still feels like Tomb Raider, but it doesn't feel as intuitive as Tomb Raider does. And some of the things that I loved about Tomb Raider is that there are these. Wonderful little things you do, the tombs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you, for the most part, none of them were to the point where you never could figure it out, right?
Right.
You always could figure it out. There's been a few I generally got lost on. I had to look on, or the tools or the things they put in front of me just didn't make sense.
Right.
And some of them are story ones, and that just, that takes the allure away. So, I wanted to give that as things. Mm-hmm. I do understand people's criticism for Shadow Tomb Raider. I still think it's worthwhile playing. But just have that in your mind of it's not going to feel the exact same. And I think when you play it, you'll know exactly what I mean. But it's still enjoyable. It's still Tomb Raider. Just I really want the old team to take it back because I feel like they definitely had a handle on what they're doing. So that's what I've been playing. What about you, sir?
That's kind of depressing. I
have borrow mine, by the way. You don't have to buy it. I have it on Xbox, though.
But you have it on disc?
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah.
It's the same thing with Persona, but you bought Persona.
Persona's $10.
No, it's worth it.
And, like, I keep forget... It's, I honestly forget that you buy games sometimes. If that makes sense.
No.
Because rarely do you buy games almost. You're talking to me or yeah. talking to
This is creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying not to look at it. I don't know.
No, not even talk about it. Just let it. Yay, commercials. So I buy games only when it's cheaper to buy it physically, which happens a lot more often. Or if I want to get a Game of the Year edition or something like that. But for the most part, it's just, that's the only times I buy it. For my Switch, I would 100% rather buy digital. I don't like buying physical. And physical is so often cheaper than digital, and it pisses me off.
Because Nintendo doesn't put anything on sale.
Because they're fucking douches. But you're right. So yeah, now if you ever want to borrow, you're more than welcome to.
I mean, I already have Persona now.
No,
but it was $10. Because I can't pass up that $10 deal. But I bought, literally while we were recording the last show, I was like, shit, this is $20, I'm going to buy it. So I bought Days Gone, and I've been playing it nonstop since.
Yeah.
It's, there are a lot, there are a lot of flaws to the game.
Yes.
It feels like they were almost done with the game and then rebooted the game. So, you know how Final Fantasy 15 has parts where you're like, what? But this is great, but what?
Yeah.
This kind of has the same sort of thing. We're like, this is great, but what? But this is still fun, and but what? So it feels like almost like they had different teams come in midway through and completely change the game and completely change some of the dynamics, but keep a lot of the assets that they were working on.
I gotcha.
There are a lot of moments of like, this is cool as hell. There are still times where the first time you encounter a horde is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a couple hundred to, depending on the size of the horde, like 1,000 zombies or freaks or whatever.
And this is definitely not a hack and slash game, right?
No. And they are coming at you and you're just like, and they don't stop. And it's just, that is really exhilarating and terrifying. The AI is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
PS3 I really stupid? Do wish some people could see your facial like interactions is just going stupid, and you were like disapprovingly looking at the mic. Basically,
it's PS3 stupid.
Oh,
like it feels like an up-res PS3 game, and yet all of this, I can't put the game down because I'm having so much fun with it.
In the end, that's all that matters.
It's kind of like it's identical to Mad Max. Mad Max is not a great game. There are so many flaws. But you're like,
I'm
having so much fun with this. And that's what Days Gone is. Like, I'm having so much fun playing this game. I shouldn't have as much fun as I am, especially for, you know, it being another open world game, another zombie game. Like, all of these things that we've had billions of and we don't need more of yet. I can't put it down. I can't stop playing it.
I mean, you sold me on Mad Max.
It's very
Mad Max. I don't think you actually mentioned that before, but fuck, I'm sold on Mad Max.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's very Mad Max. I mean, it's very, very Mad Max.
I might go to GameStop and see.
I told you, like, it's totally worth the $20.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 15 at GameStop currently. I don't know if it's, but it was.
I'm going to go see
it. It was on Black Friday.
Yeah, we'll see. If not, I'm not super worried because I know it's still on sale.
But it's digital. $20 digital until the 2nd, so you got like 2 more days.
But, fuck.
But it's, I will recommend it. It is totally worth the $20 entrance fee.
I will tell you, for Tomb Raider, it's worth $15. I don't think it's worth more than $15. Don't buy the definitive edition. I don't think there's anything worthwhile beyond this. And there's a fuck ton of that game.
But the definitive edition has all like the tombs and such. Man, you know how much, like, we both loved the first two, and this is so depressing.
I'm still, how about this? I'm still having a lot of fun. I don't want to put it down, but I'm realizing, fuck, it's not exactly what I wanted before, because I'm like, shit. Anyways, I'm glad that I'll be able to move on to the next game, whatever that is right now, because I have other games to play,
too. Yeah, I think Persona is going to be my next game.
Fuck, I'll see you in a year. Remember last year.
I've got to have something until, well, it depends on what happens for Christmas.
Okay.
I am buying Fallen Order. Either okay. somebody's buying it for me or I'm buying it for myself, but I am buying Fallen Order.
Okay.
And so that'll hit up. And then I can't think of anything that's coming out that needs to be played soon. I can't think of anything that's in, like, February. And February was booked, and now I can't think of anything.
Well, I mean, Last of Us got moved.
Last of Us got moved, yeah.
I'm trying to figure what else. Again, for me, I have a lot of games, and I did buy games on Black Friday. But, yeah.
Yeah, I bought Persona and Days Gone, so I bought two.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Fallen Order. I do want to play it.
Yes. Yeah, I do too.
I just don't know if I'm going to buy it right now.
Oh, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, you will.
Speaking of Star Wars, we're going to go ahead and get to our nerd news. The first thing we're going to do is talk about The Mandalorian.
Episode one.
Now, the show's been live for a month, so we're going to go ahead and talk about episode one. We're going to spoil episode one, but we're just going to talk about episode one.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen 2, 3, or 4 yet, we're not going to go into those. We're just going to talk about episode one. In episode one, we basically get a Mandalorian is being summoned by a guy who used to work for the Empire.
Yes. He has a really good voice. You're a bad guy voice.
He's there with some withered and weathered stormtroopers.
Yeah.
But they look super thin, too.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I thought one of them was, like, 110 pounds. I was like, you can't be a stormtrooper.
But it kind of shows the idea of, and they mention it in this episode about how there's kind of, like, Imperial warlords kind of thing. So it just makes sense. He's just trying to hold on to the last bastion of whatever he has.
It's fine.
Yeah.
He's being sent, the bounty hunter's being sent to collect a bounty.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's like, all I can tell you is he's 50 years old.
And you're like, great.
Don't know what he looks like, don't know where he's at.
Which is bullshit.
How do they not know what he looks like?
I was like, why don't you want to give him more info?
They wanted the reveal at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But like,
come on.
Right.
Which, by the way, fuck you all for posting those pictures before, because that pissed me off.
We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So bounty hunter is sent out. He goes to a desert planet, runs into Leaping Lizzie from Final Fantasy XI. The Blurgs.
Oh. I don't remember Leaping Lizzie, sorry.
Literally, that was Leaping Lizzie with the super big hind legs, the lizard that... Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte rescues him.
Is that who that is?
That's who that was.
Oh.
I have spoken.
God damn it.
And so he takes off to... You know, Nick Nolte shows him this encampment. He's like, hey, these people have been here and been murdering people. This is a peaceful place. We want them gone.
Yeah.
Your bounty's there. Can you get your bounty so everybody fucking leaves? And the Mandalorian's like, okay.
So, then we have a training montage.
Montage!
Was it really important to have that?
It was
like, you could only get there.
One thing that showed up was, after we watched it, Sarah's like, this feels very Smallville to me. In that 90% of the episode is filler, and then you have 10% that is important storyline.
Okay.
I was like,
I can go with that 100%.
Yeah. I still enjoy it. I'm still liking the series, but I'm like, yeah, I can see a lot of it being just filler stuff to get to the reveal at the end or whatever. The M. Night Shyamalan twist of, here's what's happening in this episode. I don't understand why he could only get there on the Blurg.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't make mention, like, maybe there was a type of quicksand that every other thing on the planet gets trapped in, except for these things can walk through you.
It was a very...
Something.
Yeah, it was
like,
very...
Because, like, well, why didn't the Mando just walk on his own?
That's kind of what I came to, is why didn't he just walk? Why didn't he park his ship closer? Why didn't he do this? And I'm like...
Well, I mean, the parking the ship closer I can get, because you don't want to...
have it be able to get destroyed.
You don't want to be seen.
Yeah.
So that I get, but why was the Blurg the only way to get there? And that makes... That's fine.
It's, again, I think Sarah's got it knocked down. Like, it's...
So they get to the encampment where the bounty is, and IG droid shows up, IG-11, who's another bounty hunter, who's there after the same bounty. They finally take out all the opposition.
Yeah. So, question for you, because you have a much better knowledge than I know our friends also have a much better knowledge about Star Wars in general. Is that a big droid that's been mentioned in previous things, and that's why people are so fucking in love with it? Because yes. I've never heard of it before.
IG-88 is the most famous of those droids.
Okay.
And he's actually in Empire when Vader summons all of the bounty hunters. IG-88 is the IG unit that's there.
Oh, okay.
In the EU books, there are four IG-88 units that are built.
Okay.
And Boba Fett encounters one on Bespin and kills it. One of them becomes the Death Star laser.
What the fuck?
One of them is IG-88, and I can't remember what the other one is. I think it became a hyperdrive on something, but I can't remember. Huh. It's been like 15 or 20 years since I read
the book. So there's a long track record for it, because people were fucking in love with it. I mean, it was cool.
Yes.
And it's fucking deadly.
Yes.
And the memes about girlfriend saying self-exploding.
Okay, initiating self-destruct.
No.
So they finally take over the opposition, or destroy the opposition. They blast their way through the door. They see an egg, and inside the egg, they see a baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what Yoda's species is?
No, and that's why everybody's calling it Baby Yoda.
Okay. I kind of figured
because there's only been Yoda and Yardle, and nobody knows who Yardle is. She was on the Jedi Council in Phantom Menace. Like, she's in the background.
Oh.
Nobody cares.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's just like, well, it's Baby Yoda. Obviously, it's not Yoda, because this is taking place after Yoda's dead.
Yeah. I kind of figured that no one knew what the species was.
Right.
Because otherwise, by now, there would have been a, well, actually.
There have been a lot of well, actually's of, like, it's actually not Baby Yoda.
Then what do you want to call it?
Yeah. It's where it just stops. But there have been a lot. It's not Baby Yoda. Cool. Right, we understand.
Yes.
What do we call it then? Baby green little thing?
Oh, sure. Shut up. And that's the end of the episode. Yep. That scene.
Yes.
I really wish I had known that Yoda was in there.
Right.
Because that would have been a wonderful reveal of, like, what the fuck?
One of the things that I have seen, which I don't know if it shows the idiocy of people, or if it shows the lack of compassion and empathy, or self-centered. Like, I don't know what it shows, but there was a person that had posted a picture of, or had posted a poll on, I think, like, the Salt Lake, Utah cosplay page or whatever.
Yeah, really.
And
they like to stir a lot of shit up there, don't they?
But their question was, are memes and pictures of Baby Yoda a spoiler? Yeah. It's literally the impetus of the first episode.
Yep. It's the crux of it.
If somebody had told you, I don't know, a week before the episode came on, hey, at the very end, there's a little Baby Yoda, would you have been like, oh, cool.
Even if they don't
say that. Or you'd been like, oh, that's spoiled for me.
Or even if they don't say that, if they just say, there's a Baby Yoda in an episode. And that's what people are going off of, is that we're not telling it's the end of the episode, but you're telling me that it's in there, so I have to know to expect it. And when nothing happens, and there's a big reveal at the end, of course I'm going to fucking expect it. I'm like, God damn it. Again, it's not, oh, well, it's done. Can't do a shit about it.
Right.
But it is a spoiler. That's why I don't talk about it to other people. And I see all the things running around, and I feel bad if you haven't got it yet.
That's why I shared a meme today, and I was like, okay, it's been a month. This is a meme from the first episode.
Yeah.
And every week I'll include, you know, the next one and the next one and be like, at some point you have to allow me to talk about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to Game of Thrones and be like, well, I saw it, so I'm going to talk all about it. I'm going to give you a month and then be like, sorry.
That's kind of the thought of just give it a little breathing room. But, I mean, I liked it. It's not perfect.
No, but it feels not Star Wars TV show.
Yes, it does. 100%. It feels 100% like a Star Wars TV show of what I want a Star Wars
feels
TV
way
show
more about. Star Wars than episode episode 8.
There you go, buddy.
And probably episode 7. I know, I like episode 7, but episode 7 doesn't feels
like Star Trek.
Yes.
It felt like Star Trek the reboot. Yeah. Which I love still.
Oh, well, the first Star Trek was fucking great. The next two were,
I still like 2, but agreed. I mean, I wish they wouldn't have spoiled the Baby Yoda. But yes, I really enjoy it. Yep. I'm having fun.
Yep.
I like how it has a style and it's sticking to it. And yay, Favreau and the other dude can't remember. What?
Filoni.
Filoni, thank you. I can
never like baloney, but Filoni.
Buffaloni.
Buffaloni.
I'm glad they're sticking with it, and I like the idea that they're still going to get different directors for each one.
Yeah.
Or that they did get different directors for each one. So, then we could talk about this next week. I'm excited.
Yeah, next week has a little bit more into it. And each week, it's each week is kind of Smallville, where there's a whole bunch of filler stuff and then important things.
I do like how they're building out a part of the universe that I genuinely never really gave a second thought to when it came to Mandalorians.
So building up what? Mandalorians?
Yeah. Or? Like for me, like as a person who never went to,
I don't care about Mandos,
but no, I never went to the EU. I never played a lot of them on the Bounty Hunter games, which by the way, they're totally going to be Bounty Hunter game. Bounty Hunter. But they're building out that universe that I never gave a shit about. But now I'm like, okay, I'm curious.
Right.
And that's cool.
And I like that. They're finally not depending on Jedi, which is nice.
They're
not.
I mean, you have a baby Yoda.
Sure, but...
Okay.
You're not depending on Jedi.
You don't have lightsabers flowing.
You don't have lightsabers. Yes. You don't have any sort of Jedi anything.
And you're kind of building up the mythos of other people that aren't Jedi being badasses.
Right.
Which is cool, right. Because you can't have Jedis just be your ace in the hole all the time. So, yeah.
Alright, so news story number two is Castlevania Season 3 is going to be coming to Netflix here shortly in December.
Fucking can't wait. I fucking love Castlevania.
I think I'm one or two episodes into Season 1 of Castlevania. Like, I have so much that I keep forgetting to go back to watch it.
Yeah. Season 1, you have to watch it like a movie. Just watch through all the episodes, knock it out. It's basically a movie. Season 2, I really enjoyed, and I can't wait to Season 3. Like, fuck yes.
I need to get back into it and start really, really watching it and kind of binge through it. I enjoyed what I saw so far.
That's good. I'm happy they have it. It is very weird. I like how they have a animation studios, or they're hyping up their animation studios. Haven't watched any of Dragon Prince. I didn't like Disenchanted.
It's okay. That's the Matt Groening one, isn't
it?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
It is okay. Season 2 was also okay.
I mean, but The Simpsons have been okay for a very long time.
But Futurama was really good.
Was it?
I love Futurama, and I've watched it again recently in the past year. So I would say that I like it, but then again, I could be biased. As you know, I usually am.
Right. this is such a weird 2019 topic that I don't even know how to begin with this.
Okay.
Uno has gotten into the negative politic game, essentially, and has removed politics from their game.
Wait, what?
They're removing red and blue cards. Apparently that's how inane we are as a society, that if somebody plays a blue card in a red house or a red card in a blue house, we have to go off on them. Which I find, I don't understand where this is coming from, because this is the same country, essentially, the same sort of people that have made Cards Against Humanity popular, which, we'd recently played Secret Hitler, and had never played Secret Hitler before, and I never thought I would ever hear somebody say, I wanted to be Hitler. I'm so upset I didn't get to be Hitler.
What the actual fuck? I had to generally think and just sip on that a little bit, going, what the... One, Secret Hitler is a fan fucking
Secret Hitler
game.
Is so fun.
And it's so hard. Again, I wanted to tell someone at work about it. I was like, you need to play this game, and I can't tell you about it because I'm pretty sure that's going to come back on me.
I don't know. I mean,
you're talking about Uno with red and blue cards.
It depends on who you talk to. Like, Secret Hitler is so
fun. It's so much fucking fun. I love that game.
And it's real quick, and you aren't actually Hitler.
But it's just
but
such
you are
a
Hitler,
fun,
I guess.
It is like, such an angry way to play it, though. Like, it is all about mindfuckery. It's so much fun. But what the actual fuck? There's red, blue, green, and yellow, right? If I remember correctly?
I believe so. And then black, which is the draw four.
So what are they replacing them with?
I don't know. Maybe purple and
this is green. So no, dumb.
There is green. Like, yeah, they're just primary colors. They've been around long before.
Do you think they're
Republican doing it as a and Democrat
publicity statement?
I think so.
Because I'm like, it seems like a grab for attention.
Yeah.
Like, if I were dating a person and they said, hey, I'm getting rid of all of my red and green, or my red and blue shirts because I don't want to be political, I would look at them, tell them they're fucking insane, and say, please get out of my bed.
So you're going to bang them first.
Well, I mean, I already...
And then you find out.
In this world, I already did beforehand, and then I found out afterwards. And then you find out their political stance. And then I'm like, leave.
Okay, makes sense.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it's... The dumbest thing that I've heard this week.
And you're right. Like, I'm sure it's just bullshit because there is Cards Against Humanity. There are so many other fucking crazier games that are worse than that.
Yeah.
Like, we played Dirty Code Names and that gets nasty. Did I tell you the story about Cleveland? There was a card. So you played Code Names, right?
Yeah.
So there was two cards. One was Poop and one was Steamer. And I said Cleveland. And at the time, Jackie didn't realize... It was when we first started dating. She didn't realize I didn't care about sports. So someone was like, Cleveland Browns? Isn't Browns the sports team, right?
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, it's got to be that one. And I'm like, no! It was two.
Was Browns even one of the
options? It was one of the other ones.
Oh, so you can't do that, though.
I know, because it could have been Cleveland.
Could have done three.
Yeah. But Browns wasn't mine. It was the assassin card.
Right.
So I was trying to be bold. I'm like, come on, Cleveland Steamer. God damn it. I love those games. Like I said... Stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
And the current rumor is that Bluepoint, which has done a lot of the PS4 remasters of PlayStation games, is working on a Legend of Dragoon remaster.
So as someone who never played it, but owns three copies of it, a PS3, PS4, and a physical PS1 version of it, I'm all for it. Because
yep, there's my PS1 copy.
Yeah, because I remember everyone talking about it so lovingly, and it was one of the first RPGs to come out of a first party house from Sony
that I can remember.
And people loved it. People hated it too.
You know who was the producer?
No,
Shu.
Was it really Shu? Fucking Shu, I love him, man. If the shoe fits, and it always does. I'm really happy he's also, what is it, the head of indie development?
Head of indie development, yeah.
That is fucking beautiful. Like, that guy seems
more right up his alley.
Oh, 100%. I'm excited because it'll give me, if they do the remaster like they've done other stuff, like they did Shadow Colossus, right?
I believe they did Shadow of the Colossus.
If they do it, and they do it well, like they've done the other ones. I know they've done a lot.
Yes.
And they always do a great job. They usually do quality of life improvements to it, too. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that. Because I would love to play it again, and maybe it might spark it where they have another go at it.
They do the sequel that people have been clamoring for 20 some odd years.
Yeah.
It's so weird that they didn't sequel that game.
I was surprised, or at least one.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to why they didn't make a sequel.
Really miss, like, Icons or something like that on G4 back in the day. But, like, it's the stories you want to know about. This game was super successful. They never created a sequel. This is why he slept with his wife. Oh, my God. All of the dirty stuff in there. Yeah. I'm all down for that.
And we're going to get to our free shit, good shit, which both systems have...
At least one.
Okay. Yeah. But both systems have something good coming out this month. We're actually going to start with PS4 because I think Xbox has the better month.
For me, I feel like, yeah.
I mean, I really want to play the other game. So. But PlayStation 4 is going to get Monster Energy Supercross, which, whatever. I think it's going to be fine. They've done a lot of racing games recently. You know, they did F-Zero.
Yeah.
They did that tabletop world tour or whatever. Like, they've done racing games. And Titanfall 2, which I'm excited for Brochella alone, but I've heard it's really good.
Again, it was the first time they did a single-player story for it, really.
Yeah.
And it's fully fleshed out. I had a lot of fun with it. It was enjoyable. Like, it was generally a good one.
Respawn is making some good stuff.
They take their time, and they know what they do well. And again, shooting-wise, I never really played online, so it might be kind of fun to go play online.
Well, I mean, it's perfect Brochella.
Yep.
Like...
Don't have to spend a
shit. We'll all have it for free, and we can just... And hopefully it's one of those that you can just kind of drop in and play, and not one of those kind of, like...
level up kind of things.
Division, Borderlands, Ghost Recon type of thing where somebody kind of is left behind because they haven't been in.
Borderlands is a game that I own that I haven't wanted to turn on.
Borderlands is a game that I own that I... There's new free DLC for it. I'm like, eh.
Yeah. It just feels, I spent $100 on that sucker too,
right? It just feels weird though.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's me or if it's Borderlands.
I think it could be both. Like, I think we've, like, our tastes have evolved a bit too. Like, of just, like, running and gunning and what we expect on stuff like that.
But I can still play Borderlands 2 like nobody's business.
Yes.
That's what's weird.
I can't play by myself. I hate it by myself, but I love playing with groups.
I mean, I don't mind it by myself. And I'll jump into other people's games with Borderlands 2.
You ever play Tiny Tina? I never actually got to play through that.
I'll go through it. It's, I mean, I think Mr. Torg is my favorite expansion. Mr. Torg was a lot of fun. But
yes.
That's what you get for games for PS Plus, and then for games for Gold, you're gonna get Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
The second one.
Toy Story 3.
Cool, for Xbox. 360.
Insane Robots. No idea. And Jurassic World Evolution.
Fuck yes.
This is where you build your own Jurassic Park, and then you can release the dinosaurs to murder your patrons if you choose to.
I watched so much plays of this, and I am so excited.
I have been wanting to play this so bad. I think it was on sale for like $24.99 for PlayStation for the complete package. And I was like, I'm close because I'm afraid that I won't like it.
I get you.
For that price.
Yeah. I am so freaking excited. I saw that and I'm more excited about that than Titanfall 2, but that's only because I played Titanfall 2.
Right. I mean, I'm probably more excited for it than Titanfall 2, but I don't have a live subscription. And I'm like, why would I buy $60 for a game that I was debating on $25?
You get a bunch of other lukewarm games as well.
And I can't find clear, concise pricing for the Games Pass thing. Like, I thought it was $10 for just the Game Pass. But does it come with live? Do you have
a live and Games Pass include in together.
The pricing isn't super clear, and that's
there was some of this tell me a way that you could actually like buy like up to 3 years of Xbox Gold and then upgrade it for $1, and then it will lock all 3 years in to have both Gold and Games Pass for free, which is not bad.
No.
At all. But yeah, I'm excited for releasing the dinosaurs. That's my favorite part. I just can't wait to watch that.
I'm excited. I hope you get going into it.
Oh man, yes.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and get to this week's pod question, and it was brought to us by you, buddy.
I want
to
know what was your least favorite musical number, and apparently everyone just loves all musicals. That's
what I mean, I'm not a big musical guy, so yeah. I don't watch a whole lot of them. My favorite was Jesus Christ Superstar. Okay. And there's a song in there, the name is, Mary Magdalene sings it. I can't even think of the name. I can't even remember the name of it, but it's so bad that like I skip it every time it comes the CD. When it comes, if I'm watching it, I'm like, ugh.
I can't even remember Jesus Christ Superstar besides Jesus Christ Superstar. That, like, the main theme for it.
I love that musical, and there's just that one that I can't, I can't get through. But I'm not a huge musical fan.
Okay.
I don't watch very many of them. I just, meh. The only ones I tend to like are by, you know, Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
They're pretty good ones. Theirs are pretty good.
Oh, what's yours, buddy?
It's Grease Lightning.
Really?
I
but the Chicks of Cream.
I have never watched all of Grease. It was such a huge thing when I was in high school that Grease everyone came lightning. Back and people loved that song. It was always playing and I fucking hated
go
it.
Go Grease Lightning, dude. Burn on the quarter mile.
Grease Lightning, go. I will skip lightning. It every damn time. I told Jackie this year that I would be willing to watch it with her if she wants to. But I'm like, fuck that movie. Fuck that musical. Fuck that music. That song in particular.
Interesting.
Yeah. So for you, buddy.
Huh.
What's our next question going to be?
So for this week's pod question, I want to know, what was your favorite kids programming growing up?
Ooh.
There were tons of options. I know mine Oh, excuse me. I know mine already, so...
I don't, actually. I have to think that one through.
That'll be interesting to see what sort of answers we get for that. So you can send us your answers at batandhammer@gmail.com, batandhammer on Twitter, Sprinkins and Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I am at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Krem Kalis. And make sure to like us, love us, and share us every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher.
All right, so... we are going to go ahead and get to our spoiler-filled review of Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So if you don't want to hang around for that, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 335 of Sprague and Say Geek. So for Sprague and Say Geek, I'm Bat.
And I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into our spoiler-filled review of Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's a movie based on a true story, based on a different... So there's a writer that... had an encounter, I guess you could say, with Fred Rogers. Mm-hmm. This movie is based on that article, but it's not that... The star of this movie is not the writer of the article.
Yeah.
It's based... It's somebody... They made a fake character for the writer of the article, so it's... If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But basically...
It's an artist rendition.
Kind of, yeah. So basically, it's a guy who's an investigative reporter type of thing. And he's being sent to do an expose, not an expose, but just a piece on Mr. Rogers, because Esquire is doing a magazine on, like, heroes.
Yeah.
And he's like, this isn't what I do. And usually he does
exposes and stuff like that.
Yeah, he seems to be pretty rude, I guess you could say, when it comes to his writing.
He gets to the point, and usually people don't like that.
So he's doing a report on Mr. Rogers, and... while dealing with that, his father is trying to come back into his life because his father is dying. Yeah. Tom Hanks was amazing.
Tom Hanks is always amazing.
He is, but like...
But I agree.
He almost melted into the role where I didn't see Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers. Like, I almost saw Fred Rogers. Like, it was real close. And that's what you want. And especially, I mean, Tom Hanks is such a big actor that it's hard for him to kind of just...
Melt into a role,
but he was so close.
It was so odd seeing Mr. Rogers at the end, because to your point, by the end of the movie, he was Fred Rogers to me, and then they showed Fred Rogers actual at the end of the movie. You didn't stay to the end of the scenes?
I didn't stay to
the end of the credits. They basically had Mr. Rogers actually talking and stuff like
that. Oh!
And it was kind of sweet, because you're like, oh shit, you can hear the cadence of the voice, you can hear the sing-songy of the voice and everything like that, you can see some of the mannerisms.
Why would you put a post-credit in that movie?
I mean, it wasn't really post-credits, it was just like during the credits kind of thing.
Right.
But it was just like some scenes and some stuff of Mr. Rogers.
Okay. Well, I mean,
you're not missing out on anything if you...
Spoiler, I had to go to the bathroom.
No shit.
So yeah, I missed that part, but yeah, it was a... The way that he melted into that role was crazy, because it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had the cadence down, he had kind of the walk, and I mean, he had everything down. And there's one part that I mean, I'm crying, dying crying. I don't know if it happened to you, but...
I did cry a lot during the movie.
There's a part where they're having lunch together, and he's talking about, hey, can you just have a quiet minute with me?
Yes.
And he goes quiet, and then you see Mr. Rogers' widow. You see the actual Mrs. Rogers. She has a cameo. And I was like, oh, hey! And then the entire cafe goes silent, and, you know, the main... protagonist is like, well, I don't know what to think about it. He's like, don't worry, it'll come to you. And
you can see a little bit of a smile come to his face.
Like, it just goes quiet and he's staring at him, and you could see the protagonist kind of get sad and think about something. You could see him move. And then Tom Hanks looks directly into the camera for like 30 seconds and is just looking right at you. And I was like, oh, God! Like... Because they've talked about how, you know, Mr. Rogers would say he's talking to Sally or Jim or whoever, specifically that one kid. He's looking at you, talking to you, not talking to however many kids are watching. And it was just, that moment was so incredible, and I didn't think it would have the impact that it had, and man, that was brutal.
I also liked how gutsy it was, because they stuck to their guns with it. Like, it was actually It was, I think, almost a solid minute.
It was a minute.
And it was, like, that whole idea of keeping with it. And it was
silent.
The entire theater was silent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it also made me flash back to when we saw the documentary, mm-hmm. the Won't You Be My Neighbor? Or, no, what is it? Beautiful. Yeah, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Yeah, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Beautiful Day of My Neighborhood.
Yep.
At the end, they talk about the idea of, like, close your eyes and think of someone that makes you smile. And you just see everyone kind of the same thing progressively closing their eyes, and you see the smiles creep across their face. And that's what you saw in that same scene, is everyone doing that. And then I just lost my shit. Yeah. I'm crying.
Dude, me too.
It's funny because there was two dude bros next to me, and they were so into the movie in the best of ways. Like, you saw the guys cry, and you saw the guys laughing at all the points, and I'm like,
I love you guys. There was definitely a dude bro next to me, and, like, you could see him kind of being like, and I was like, yeah.
See? Mr. Rogers got you, buddy.
But yeah, that part was good. I like the way it was filmed, where it would show, like, a lot of the stuff would be 1980s looking.
Yeah.
And just be kind of fake and whatever.
And it also went to, full screen a lot of the times. Yeah. You saw that? And I really dug that of just, it was a fun transition.
Yes.
That and, like, the damn models and stuff, all of that was fun transitions because you can tell it was made physically by people that actually genuinely love this.
Mm-hmm.
I read a little thing about some of the people when they went to Pittsburgh, because they went to, I think it was Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
To talk to the people for the studios and everything like that, and they were welcomed with open arms kind of thing. They said it was just a really great experience. And I want to go.
It's just, and it's amazing, you know, the impact that one person can actually really have. And I did like the question of, like, okay, well, you're Fred, but is it hard to be the character of Mr. Rogers or whatever? And he's like, I am Mr. Rogers. And he's like, sure you are. And then he realizes, like, Jesus.
But I even like that whole conversation of when he said, it must not have been easy to be your kids. And he's right. Like, you know what? You're right. Thank you for that. And I'm just like, motherfucker. God damn it. It was beautiful. I really liked, it was a privilege to see Tom Hanks in that role.
Yeah.
And
he was great.
I'm so glad they cast him, because at first I was excited, but to your point, he's a big actor. It's hard to see him step into something else, and he wholeheartedly gave himself to that. It was well worth it. This movie really reminded me of Julie and Julia. Do you remember that one? The one with...
I remember it, but I didn't see it.
If you have seen it, this movie's entirely like that, where it's just like, hey, this is a movie, but it's not necessarily about Julia Child. It's not necessarily about Fred Rogers. It's
right.
About an interaction, like you mentioned, with somebody having it with that person, essentially.
Right.
Either whether it's in person or it's through an experience kind of thing. But yeah, I dug it.
Yeah, I totally dug it. I would recommend this. It's going to pull at your heartstrings.
Yep. Which is what I wanted.
Yeah.
So.
But it was... I actually liked this more than the documentary that we watched.
This one definitely was more of a... This was a movie.
Yes, but it felt more like it was telling the story than the documentary. Like, the documentary, I felt whelmed.
Yeah.
There was that one scene where they're like, you know, think of somebody who made you smile, but the rest of it was like, eh.
This where definitely this, made I was you... like,
wow, okay.
Well, this brought Mr. Rogers to life, essentially.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So we both actually really recommend going to see Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
I even love the dude who's his kind of minder. He's super protective. He's
like, oh, Bill.
Yeah, he's such a dick. He's like, made him read everything that you wrote.
the handshake handoff.
That was so fucking good. Oh, dear Lord. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, definitely go see it.
Yeah, we do recommend it. It's probably not going to be in the theaters much longer, though.
I'm hoping at least for another
Star
week
Wars
or two.
Coming out.
With Star Wars and also Frozen 2 still, like, mopping up.
Yeah, going crazy. But yeah, we both recommend seeing Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And with that, you've been listening to episode 335 of Spreck and Zay Geek. So for Spreck and Zay Geek, I'm Bat.
I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
Is our plan to still do the normal Star Wars thing this year again?
I would like to.
To record right after?
Okay. I'm going to see if I can get the day off afterwards. If not, I don't care.
I have that Friday off. So I'm hoping it's good enough to where I can watch it again Friday.
That was a nervous laugh right there. <You're> like,